How many of you slept okay last night? Yeah, slept all right? Okay, that's good.
That's good.
Slept like a baby? That's good. Anybody know 1 John 4, 7 and 8 or more? Anybody want to try it? Twos, threes, fours? You got your whole posse going to try? Yeah, no, she just stood up. I know. Should I point her out? Do you want to come? Come on down. Oh, I'm just kidding. You don't have to come down. She really believed me. That was pretty good. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Anybody got it? I mean, any of those boys that have nicknames this week, you have it this today? What did we have last night? We had Peachy Grandma. No, is that you? Peachy Grandma. What was the other one? Fruit snacks. I had some fruit snacks today. Welch's.
Bring out the fish.
Bring out the fish?
Yeah, bring out
the fish. Who's that? The fish? Who's that? Hairy dragon. Hairy dragon? Oh, jeez. Only with middle schoolers, you know, that could go really bad. Hairy dragon. Woo. So nobody's got it? Nobody? Really? All of the work crew? All right, come on, man. At least try, man. Oh, we got a young lady back there? All right, come on, bring it down. Come on, let's give her a little love. Oh, and you're going to join her? Yes! I love that. All right, so, oh, hold on. Hey, come on over here. All right, here you go. Can you handle this? You're going to be all right?
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself with that.
Wait, I'm doing something.
All right.
Well,
whenever you're ready. You can go back and forth. You know, you can do whatever you want. It's all good. Yeah, ready. Go for it.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Anyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. No. Yeah.
Yes. Good. All right, good. Are you going to try it, or are you just standing up here for moral support?
No, I'm going to do 7 through 8.
Oh, you're going to do 7 through... Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Okay. She just did 7 and 8.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And anyone, and whoever loves has been born of God and loves God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Awesome, man. Great stuff. All right, hey, we do, when I was an elementary teacher, you put, you know, your best hand up, right hand or left hand. You got it? Yeah, there we go. Okay, you got it? Good. And you just air high five them. So let the spit fly. One, two, three. Psh! You got to make the noise, people. Just don't spit on the person in front of you, okay? Air high five. One, two, three. Psh! Nice. We're just giving those two girls high fives. She's kind of like, why are we doing this again? She was looking, why are we doing this? Look at her. I just embarrassed her. It's great. Love it. Okay. Anybody else? The whole work crew? Which work crew is that? Huh? There's only one. Okay, my bad. Come on. At least stand right there. Wherever you are, work crew, stand up. Come on. Come on, work crew people, stand up. Come on. All right. Give it a try. On a count of three, nice and loud with your oomphy voices. And if you don't know it, just fake it by saying watermelon. This is a choir thing right here, guys. If you're ever in a choir and singing a song and you forget the words, just mouth watermelon. It works. And then when you get your lines back, bam, do it, okay? Don't let your choir directors know that one if you're in choir, but it works. It really does. And just smile like you know what you're saying, okay? All right, you ready? Count of three, ready, set, go. Somebody give me a on three, the X. Ready? One, two, three. Thank you very much. All right. Put the Bible down, son. Think this is, man. All right. Together now, work crew. Ready, set, go. Dude, well done, guys. Well done. All right, good. Well, they even got a chance to. Dude, you guys got to keep up, man, with the work crew, man. Let's give them a little love. Air high five, one, two, three. All right, hey, any adults in the room? Have the panache. If you want to sing this, I know a few of the adults know this song. That would humor the students, I would think. Any adults want to give it a try? 24/7 peeps, anybody? No pressure. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Anybody? You want to do it? You're not going to sing, or you are going to sing? Okay, all right, all right. Well, let's be quiet. So you can just sing from there. I'm not even going to have you come down. Okay, you can just say it then. Air high five, one, two, three. Well done, all right. Motivation. You can think of defining the word motivation real easily. Okay? Some mornings you are motivated to get up. Some you are not. When you know you're getting a paycheck and have to make it to work on time, motivation. When you know you're meeting something who you really care about, you get there. When you have a coach who demands certain things, and if you're late, you know there's a problem, the whole team suffers because you're late, there's a motivation of being on time. Motivation. Can you guys think of anything that really motivates you in life? Food. Yeah, baby. All right, good. Good, yeah? Scripture. All right, good. The word. That's good. What's that?
Theater.
Nice. My son, who's a junior of the three, he loves theater, man. Loves it. What's that? Sleep. Anybody motivated by sleep? Today I could have taken a nap. It hit me. It hit me. I was kind of like, whoa, okay. Anything else? What's that? Paycheck does, sure. Yeah, what else? Say again? Music. Anybody love just some, like, good jams? Okay? When my daughter comes back from college, we get in the car, and, you know, my aux cord was terrible. And she's like, Dad, come on. You got to get your aux cord fixed, man. So we drove to the store, got an aux cord, and, man, like, you know, we're cranking the tunes, man. I don't know if any of you got to meet my daughter. She was here the other night, but... like, she's got a lot of long, crinky, curly hair. Any crinky, curly hair people in the house? You know what I'm talking about? Not you. All right? But you know what I'm talking about. When she puts it in a bun, 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 okay, it, like, really goes way up here, okay? Even when she balls it up, it's still like, okay? And now she saved her pennies for 4.5 years, and she bought herself a used Mini Cooper. $5,000 out the door, 125,000 miles. It's a stick shift. It's like, it's Mac Daddy'd out. But when she sits in the thing with her bonbon, she's got to lower the seat lower so that because she's got a long torso and then this bonbon on top of her head. Dude, okay? But motivation, saving your money up to all of a sudden have a car. It's pretty sweet. She's learning how to drive stick before driving to Arkansas in a month and a half. 14-hour drive. In a Mini Cooper. Should be real interesting. Yeah. Motivation. Can life circumstances be a motivation? The good, the bad, and the ugly? 2003 was a really tough year. My wife lost her father, a grandfather, and a 25-year-old brother to cancer. A month later, I found out my mom, who's still living with cancer 15 years later, found out she had cancer. A month after that, my dad, I find out, has prostate cancer, got rid of it. He's still alive. We had gone on a trip for our 10-year wedding anniversary in 2004 to check out an inner city ministry. The Lord was prompting us in some ways on some things, and literally got home after that and was like, okay, Lord, I think we're going to be doing something different. And 2 months after that trip, had a house fire. Yeah. Congregational meeting here at Christ Covenant Church on a Sunday. Kids broke into our house and started it on fire. We had just made the effort to start loving our neighborhood better because we had been in our neighborhood since 94. And it took us that long to finally get our act together because we were so enthralled with our own stuff that finally the Lord was pricking our hearts. You know, well, you get after people around our neighborhood. Literally, shortly thereafter. Oh, by the way, that Sunday after we had the house fire, it was the week of Vacation Bible School here at Christ Covenant Church. And we had actually decided to move it to the neighborhoods. So we had a backyard Bible club in our neighborhood that week. So after a house fire, we decided to go ahead and still do it, move it to the park in our neighborhood. Had about like 12 kids show up, three of which were my children. Why do I tell you all this stuff? Because God was motivating us to move in a direction. And I wouldn't wish a house fire or any of that stuff on anybody. But it was a motivator to start really depending and trusting God. I believe that God uses everything in our lives. He's not surprised by anything. He doesn't sit up there in a rocking chair going, I wonder how they're going to respond to this. No, he already knows. And he's going to give us his Holy Spirit when Jesus resides in your insides. And he's going to give you the confidence you need and the comfort you need and the guidance you need to move through life so that whatever has happened will be a part of your story, because God's story is huge, right? His story is monstrous. Our stories are little pieces in that puzzle to make that whole picture really come into fruition for people. Now, usually when you're in the stuff, okay, it's not like you're ready to write a book and get in front of people and tell your testimony about all the Hades that's been going on in your family or in life, right? It's not normal, okay? But you need to know that God orchestrates everything for his bigger story. Are you hearing that? Some of you may be like, dude, you know, right now, life's been good, man. I mean, I'm very blessed, you know, things have been good, okay? Great. Praise the Lord, okay? But in order for you to sense what being the least is, you got to start understanding how people are getting hit with stuff so you can understand then how to have empathy, sympathy, and show the love of Christ in whatever we're doing in those different situations. That makes sense? Because a lot of times, if you're not going through stuff, somebody else is. Would you agree? Okay? I can rattle off one or two or maybe even three people you know that even though you're not going through stuff, they're probably going through stuff. You with me on that? Why do I share that with you? Because shortly thereafter, some of the ministries you guys have hit, Jackson Park Ministries. I was on staff there for a while. There was a sports ministry we were working with called, and it was connected to Brookstone Schools. And they're now up in, I think, in the center of uptown now. But there's a lot of need. There's a lot of stuff going on. And this kind of week just sparks, hopefully, a movement before something crazy happens to really motivate you to get going and doing it. Some of you have experienced different things. You know, maybe the energy level in your, you know, stations and things that are going on are, eh. And then some of you are experiencing, dude, we're handing out Bibles left and right. Holy macaroni. Okay? Guys, we're a united front. We're a community. So when somebody is having success in the kingdom building process, it's our job to come around them and be their entourage. Remember what we did? Okay? As crazy as that is, our flesh would get jealous. Our flesh would get envious. Our flesh would be like, man, why can't I have what they're doing? Maybe God's holding you back so that the next round of things, you're better suited for what needs to happen. Get the motivation picture? All right. Stand with me. Come on. Just reach for the sky. Come on, tippy toes, take a deep breath. Blow it out. Good. Relax, shake it out. Again, reach for the sky. On your tippy toes, breathe. Shake it out. All right, turn this way. Massage. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. Come on. There you go. Nice and easy. Come on. Yeah, good. All right, good. Turn and switch. Nice. Very nice. All right, good. All right. Let's look at God's word for a second here, okay? When you sit back down, I would like for you to turn to Isaiah 58, okay? And you're going to start at verse 6 when you sit down, okay? All right, so that'll just be proactive. Okie dokie. So if you have a Bible, open up to Isaiah, big number 58, and we're going to start at number 6, okay, in a little bit. Read this together with me. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is God's word. Be hearers of it. Have a seat. I couldn't help myself but repeat, okay? We kind of mentioned this verse, but while you're turning to Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12, I want to set it up for you a little bit. We've got to start with the end in mind. When we're talking about motivation, we've got to start with the end in mind. Some of you might build your own home. You got to start with the end of mind. You got to know what the design is. You got to know what it looks like. Then you start making plans for what land you're going to put it on, you know, what foundation, how you're going to build it. Are you going to seal it or not? Is it going to have a basement? Is it going to have a crawl space? Then, okay, are you going to use metal beams or wood beams? And then, you know, what kind of shingles? What kind of, are you doing siding? Are you going to just go old school and do wood, you know, trim on it or whatever, okay? Whatever it takes. Then you start working out the finances and trying to figure it out and then going for it. I will probably never build a house because there's always something that is just crazy about it, you know. I kind of have a snail theology about houses. You know, you just move from one shell to the next. The only reason why I do that is because my home's going to have a cool-looking mansion in it when I'm in eternity. Everything from here on in that I do is because I know that I'm going to inherit more than some of the contracts I'm seeing with the NBA draft and crazy stuff. I mean, money galore. We think that's huge. I got a bigger God. And I'm going to have some cool stuff going on. Why can't we have that as a motivation, you know? Being with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, being with family and friends who have served as saints for the King, why can't that be our motivation? I think we get so wrapped up in the stuff of this world that we forget what we're getting when we live wholeheartedly for Him. Now, we've got a whole Old Testament that deals with a group of people, generally speaking. There's other books in there, poetry and some other things, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, okay? But generally speaking, man, the Israelites, boy, whew, I have no earthly idea why they chose them, why God chose them. Man, they are a mess. And then, really, when we start looking at us, we're a mess too, aren't we? Day in, day out, we're a mess. But that he loved us. Got to remind you again and again. Because he first loved us, this is why we, what? Love. Now, if you've heard it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're going to hear it tonight, okay? Bottom line is, if Jesus didn't do what he did, if Jesus didn't make the payment to appease what God was seeing, there is no joy in handing out Bibles to kids tomorrow. Which, on a side note, if you do get those Bibles, okay, and you're handing them to kids, before you hand it to them, take a pen or a highlighter, okay, and go through and highlight some of your favorite verses. Don't tell the kids where they are. Hand them the Bible and say, hey, find the highlighted verses. Right? What does that force them to do? Okay? Helps them get started sticking their nose in the Word. Okay? All right? And, oh, by the way, show them the table of contents. Because if it's their first Bible, they're going to have no clue what Numbers is or Deuteronomy. Okay? You know the Zechariah. Okay? Habakkuk. Seriously? You know? Okay? You know what I mean? Haggai, that's an even better one. You guys saving that one for your kid one day, right? Hey, Haggai, get over here now. Yeah, all right. Next slide. Ho! What's our phrase for the week? Come on, say it with oomph. You can do it while sitting. Go.
In Jesus Christ, we are loved. Therefore, be loved.
Nice, very good. Okay, in Jesus Christ, we are the beloved. And this idea of being. Job had somebody, bunch of friends, just sit with him for 7 days while he struggled. We're not used to just being with people. We think we got to give them information. We think we got to give them answers. We got to, you know, help them fix it, figure it out. One time soon, you'll have a chance, I'm sure of it, in the next year to just be with somebody. You don't have to say anything. Okay? Just be. Because then the Lord and his Holy Spirit radars in you will all of a sudden give you what you know you're supposed to say, and it'll be the right thing to say. You don't have to force it. I'll put money down on it. Guaranteed. That's why the Holy Spirit's our guarantee. I will guarantee that when you have Jesus inside of you and your Holy Spirit radars are up, you can just be and let the Lord do his thing through you. And more times than not, it's just sitting still and waiting for God to give you what you need. Best cell phone plan you'll ever have. And it costs you nothing except Jesus' life. Next slide. You're in Isaiah 58, yeah? Somebody with a good reading voice. Okay, read for me, nice and loud, verse 6, and then stop at the end of verse 9. Young man right there, glasses? Got it, man? All right, stand up for me, please, just so that we can project. All right? Yep, through 9. Yep. Somebody help him find Isaiah 58. Oh, okay, I'm totally messing. Totally messing with you, bud. All right. Show some grace, people. All right, go ahead, nice and loud. Let me set this up for you, okay? Isaiah is in a time now where he's proclaiming, he's a mouthpiece of God, right? Isaiah, prophet, okay? Israel's really a mess, and they're about to get taken over. put into exile, and he's proclaiming that it's going to happen, and people still aren't listening. So people are just going through the motions. Tradition. I know for a fact Christ's Covenant and many other churches have plenty of traditions that we get in the rigmarole of doing. Some are great. Some are really calf-ish. You know that golden calf? They need to be melted down, burned up, and just let go. Now, that's for you to determine as a group. That's for your leadership to determine. That's not to knock leadership. But sometimes we get stuck in a rut. And the Israelite people got stuck in a rut. And they were so stuck in a rut that they're fasting and they're praying, but they're realizing, you know what? God's not listening. You ever feel that way? So God, through Isaiah, tells them the Matthew 25 passage. Hey, naked, prisoner, have you gone and visited them? Take care of them. Here's what's crazy. Verse 3, I didn't have you read, because they were seeking their own pleasure. Wrong motivation, people. You tracking with me? Isaiah 58:3 says that they were seeking their own pleasure. Now, in the grand scheme of things, seeking our own pleasure is not a bad thing. But when it gets in the way of doing the right things for the sake of God's movement, problem. Okay? Major, okay? So when you see the verses we're about to read now, to finish it off, check out what it says. So if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desires of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. How many of you love it when somebody encourages you when you're feeling gloomy? Yeah. There's just something about that. How do you feel when you help that person get out of their funk and their gloominess? Yeah, don't you? It feels good, doesn't it? Okay. Light. Darkness. What did Jesus call himself? What does he call us when we reside, when he resides in us? Sheep. Yeah, okay, that's good. But I'm kind of going on the light idea. Track with me. It's all good. It's good. Yeah, we're the light of the world, right? Salt and light of the world. You remember that? So Jesus calls himself the light. And then so when he resides in us, that makes us? No. Light. I'm dark. You're not. Okay, no, that was, sorry. Just kidding. Just a joke. I know. It's okay. By the way, I don't know if any of you guys know this, but like, I am part German-Swedish, so like, I'm half white. So when I make white jokes, I'm just talking about my undersides, okay? That was just another joke. You just totally missed that. Wow. Okay. Here's the thing, guys. When you know that you have light, okay? You're going to laugh at this one. Here we go. Okay, so when we did fall retreats, we used to call it Rocktober. Okay? And one year, okay, we got a flashlight that was, I think it had like four of those square batteries. You know that they have a two-prong, and they're like a brick, the batteries. But it was that kind of flashlight. It was Mongo. Like when you turn it on, it generated heat. That's how big this thing was. And it was a brick to, you know, you're like. But we called it the Lust Patrol flashlight. So at nighttime, I mean, you could shine this thing from across the camp. I mean, it's burning down trees as it goes through the air, okay? All right, it's like Iron Man, okay? So, like, there are times, man, people weren't, they weren't doing anything bad, but we'd be like, hey, Lust Patrol, and boom, turn. And it's like, it's pitch black, and we'd just scare people for the sake of scaring people. This is what we did, okay? Just to cause a laugh, and look, he's laughing about it. So this light, okay? When I think about it, though, that's kind of what we're supposed to be. Lightness does one of two things. Because we're motivated by Jesus, when you turn on the light, it makes people either run, okay, they're like, dude, enough, I don't want that. Or they go, dude, I want that, but wait. So they start walking towards you like to kind of go, hey, stop that. You know what I'm talking about? You just sparked a movement. You motivated somebody by turning on the light. Does that make sense? Okay? Guys, when we realize that we are light, it's going to rise and it's going to get rid of darkness. Next slide. And the Lord will guide you continually. He will satisfy your desires in a scorched place. Guys, we learned this verse literally a month or two, really captivated my wife and I's heart before our house fire. We just laughed out loud when we read it. A scorched place. I still have the smell in my nose of like burned clothing, wall, debris, all of that, you know, in my nose. When I see like smoke and I'm like, I know exactly what that smells like. Like it's just kind of toxic, weird, and whatever. Okay. My boogers were black for like a week. I mean, seriously, trying to clean out stuff, it was nasty. Okay. Blowing your nose. Okay. Scorched place. And makes your bones strong. How many of you really, like, take seriously, like, occasionally, you know, just, you know, when you push ups or sit ups or whatever you can do, all of a sudden you start feeling like, man, like, I just feel good. I'm to the point now where when I do them, I just hurt. But, it's all right, you know. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, that feeling of, like, yeah, man, like, you can just, like, you feel good, man. You want to go do something. Okay, maybe not. Okay, but it's all right. And you will be like a watered garden. Guys, I'm going to share this with you. Bless you, man. It's all good. I want to share this with you. Don't get to a point where you're a saturated lawn. I shared this with a couple of students last night. You know, we're in South Charlotte. Probably more than half of you have a water system on your lawn, okay? I've got one on a soccer field at my school. You know, if you overwater things, what happens? It dies. There's a balance, right, that we need to have. A well-watered garden starts showing fruit. What kind of fruit are you showing? You see, when you start showing fruit, it's appealing. My mother-in-law lives on a farm, 250-year-old house. They think it was used during the Underground Railroad in Maryland. Pretty sweet. Going up there in July. Peaceful place, 139 acres. She's a widow. She's got raspberry bushes. I love when she's tending. The other day I was talking to her, and she was tending those bushes. You know what that means? When I get up there, it's all business. You see a black man with a very red lippy looking face because yumminess. And she makes jam. Oh. Okay. The Balmsky raspberry mixed berry jam. Better than Welch's in the store, man. Woo. It's good. I'm already making you look. You're like. Okay. Well-watered gardens are appealing, aren't they? They don't turn people away. They bring people to it. People want to stroll through. There's something about the air around a well-watered garden. Guys, this picture is a turn back to Eden. Heaven's going to be better than that when we're together. So we go from a sun-scorched place to this well-watered garden. Okay, next slide. Check it out. When we're a part of God's plan, your ancient ruins will be rebuilt. Now, the Israelites knew what was going on. Jerusalem was a mess. It was going to become more of a mess. Okay? Their homeland, their center city on the hill. You will raise up the foundations of what? This ain't about you and me. This is always about the next generation. So do me a favor. Beat the statistics. Okay? You're predominantly white, middle-class, wealthy kiddos, generally speaking. Okay? There's a few diverse kids in here. By 2045, it is projected that white people will be the minority in our country. Think about that. You're going to be up, you're going to be my age by that time. And the stats are stacking up that because of so many different nations in our country, it will be a glimpse of heaven. Will the church be ready for that? When you guys are in leadership, deacons, elders, youth pastors, wives, husbands, single people getting it done, Are you going to be ready for the fact that our country, America, is going to look, hopefully, like heaven? Now, I'm not suggesting you go home, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm going to marry somebody diverse one day. You'll probably wig them out, okay? I married a white girl, my mom's white, and I'm just all mixed up. It's all good, okay? If you do find somebody of diversity, just make sure they love Jesus more than you. Because I would expect that of any culture, any nation for you. That's what I wish for you if you do have a significant other one day and start making babies and repopulating the next generation. You tracking with me on this? Okay? It's not a white, black, mixed kid thing. Jesus said, hey, what was the proclamation? The angels came, right? I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all white people. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for Asian people, Hispanic people. No. I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for what?
All
peoples. All nations. All men. That works. That's all right. You know, whatever. Mankind, you know. Don't want any girl power thing going on. Okay, all right. Next slide. I want to share with you a little story. This guy is hilarious, okay? Before he became a believer, he was as good and on tour with Seinfeld. If you know the TV show and the reruns of that, okay? The show about nothing, okay? There's a few shows like that now. Brooklyn Nine-Nine and a couple of others that it's just shows about nothing. Silliness, just crazy. I don't know why, but they make money talking about nothing, okay? This guy becomes a believer and is using his comedic act and talents to share. And so I want you to see this, and then we're going to conclude really quickly because I'm going to go through some therefores for you tonight. Okay? We've been talking about you are, therefore. I'm going to give you some. All right? All right. Watch this. Let me get out of the way.
So now I'm about to tell you this really cool story. This story is so, this is like, man, this is so cool. So as I mentioned earlier, we met this, we heard about this family situation, right? This is the story that's in the small group curriculum we're creating. We met this family called the Richardson family. Now, I think we have a picture of them. Actually, we have a picture. That's the Richardson. It's such a cool-looking family. Zoom in on the little boy, though. Look at this. Like, you're doing too much right now. You're doing too much. All right, so that's the Richardson family. So we heard about the family situation. Let me break it down for you. So they have 5 biological kids. And then they adopted 2 more kids. And then they were fostering 5 siblings, all under the age of 7. That's a grip of kids. And then someone comes along and they want to adopt 2 of those 5 siblings, which means they would be split up. So the Richardsons prayed, pulled their resources together. They don't have, I'm talking about limited resources. They pray and they felt like God said to do this, so they adopted the other 5 kids. So not long after this, their vehicle gets stolen. I don't know how your vehicle gets stolen. Anyway, so their vehicle gets stolen, and now they're down to 1 vehicle. So literally, if they want to go someplace, church or wherever, they have to make 2 trips, drop some kids off with an older kid, and come back and get, like, so this is what we find out about the story. And I feel like God wants me to do something, but I don't know what, because he doesn't say, I want you to buy him a vehicle. So I meet with my family. We get together, we pray, we have a family meeting, and we're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then and we decide to do a comedy show fundraiser for the family. But here's the thing. If I do a comedy show fundraiser, technically, that's me buying them a vehicle. Because if people buy tickets to a show, and if there's a show, they get what they want, I take the money I would normally make, and I buy, and that would be disobedience. So we're praying, like, God, what do you want us to do? So we did a comedy show fundraiser, but it was called the No-Show Comedy Show. So we sold like $50 tickets to a show, and we explained to people, there ain't no show. So you can get $50 seats, you can get VIP seats, but there's no show. People were like, well, where is it? I was like, wherever you want it to be. But what time do I need to be there? Whenever you want to. I won't be there. So we asked my fans to buy tickets to this show, and they bought tickets. And I'm blown away. One guy, I won't forget this dude. This dude walks up to the table. He buys a $50 ticket, and he's a little teary. He's a little choked up. And I was like, wow, man, that's so awesome. You know there's no show. He's like, I know. I noticed he had a ring on his finger. I was like, you're not going to bring your wife? He's like, yeah, I probably should. Like, people just got the vision. Like, it didn't make any sense. So now we're in the midst of working to get this vehicle, and I feel like the vehicle for them, I feel like the best one I could find that I feel like would fit this family is this vehicle called a Nissan NV. I didn't know much about it at all, so I'm digging around, I'm looking into it, I'm feeling like this might be the fit. So I tell the Richardsons, actually I tell my fans, if the Richardson gives us permission, we're gonna capture their story, and whoever bought a ticket will shoot you out, will send you what it looks like when they get the vehicle, if they give us permission. So we go ahead and we do, we move forward. We got the tickets, or we got the van, and I go to the family's house, and I'm talking to them, and I happen to go in their kitchen, on the refrigerator is a picture. This picture right here is on the refrigerator. It's a picture of a Nissan NV. It says, God is awesome. This is our car. Reach for your goals. I didn't know. They didn't. But he knew. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now, the Richardsons, at this point, have no idea. Like, we got the vehicle. They don't even know we got it. So now I'm like, yo, how are we going to get it to them? Because I'm all about the delivery. I'm all about the punchline. So I told him, I said, hey, we want to show you your fundraising video we made for you. Because we told him the video we were capturing was just like a fundraising video. Maybe they could use it, maybe get a down payment on a car. So we told him, we said, get all your family and your friends and get everybody together, and we're going to come to your house and show you your video. What really is going to happen is I'm going to show them the video, but then I'm going to sneak out the house, be in front of their house, interrupt the video they're watching, and introduce them to their brand new Nissan NV. And you get to see what that looked like. Check it. So we all go to their house. They're all piled in to watch the video. But what we really want to do is watch them watch the video. Because in the midst of this, I'm going to sneak out, go outside, interrupt the video, and it's going to be me in front of their house introducing them to their brand new Nissan NV. Check it. I know you're in there sitting on the couch wondering if this is actually a real live video. Well, it is. And the reason I'm in front of your house right now is because I would love it if you and your whole crew and everybody else would simply just come outside so you could see your brand new Nissan NV.
Like,
it's yours on the wheel.
Thank you.
cool part is your payments are only $400 a month. So no, no, it's completely paid for, 100%. No, no, this isn't a Michael Jr. thing. This is about a family.
And people y'all never met before heard y'all's story. We decided to do a comedy show fundraiser. But there actually wasn't a show. So people all over the country, my fans, different places, got together and bought tickets to a show that don't even exist. So y'all can have this. I don't know how to repay anybody for doing something.
What if we took God's gifts to us and got creative? The gospel's still truth, right? It's light. It's all these different things you keep learning. But what happens if we take the gospel and do something creative for people around us? I'm not called to have 12 kids. Not at this point, anyway. I'll let you know if it happens, okay? We're done having children, but maybe that whole foster care, you know, you never, I'm like, my wife's not in here, so don't let her know. But what happens if it's not just about the gifts and then getting the van and all of that? Did you notice? He didn't know that the van was, he just was like, in another clip of this, he says, that's the van I want. If I was driving around with 12 kids, I'm going to be for sure going to be driving around in a vehicle, holding them well, but just cruising around in a nice vehicle. He uses that in one of his comedy shticks. What if the gospel is so appealing to us and so great to us that we get creative and start doing the therefores? 2 Corinthians 5, okay? You'll be able to read all the way through it. 2 Corinthians 5, it's 21 verses. Do it on your own. But here's a couple glimpses quick. Okay, I got 2 minutes. Here you go. You ready? For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God. Michael J., beside himself. We're going to do a concert, a show that nobody's going to show up to. He raised a truckload of money doing it. And people were convinced that they were supposed to pay for their wife to a show they're not going to see. Seriously, you know? Here it is. For the love of Christ. The word there, controls, translated compels, motivates, kicks us in the butt to get moving. 2 Corinthians 5, when you read through it, it's all there. For now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the... Oh, because we know what we're about. Half the people that are struggling with the church are because we don't think about the flesh and how fleshly we are so that we can relate to people who are fleshly. That's it. It's the only difference. It's got nothing to do with skin color. It's got nothing to do with socioeconomic, whatever. It's got everything to do with they are an image bearer of God and don't know it yet. And I know that I am, and I got to keep reflecting the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay? You track it with me? All right, here we go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? If you're in a new suit or a new dress, how do you feel? Right? Easter, Christmas, you know, like, or, you know, prom and formals and all these things. You get all done up. Yeah, it's like you feel blingy, man. You feel like I can take on the world. In Christ, he clothes us and makes us a new creation and continues to grow in us just his stuff. The ministry of reconciliation. Yeah, that has to do with building a bridge. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to who? So is it about us anyway? No. Who's it about? That's it. Christ. Jesus. You are a follower of Jesus if Jesus resides in your insides. Remember? Last but not least. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God is what? Making his appeal through us. Last slide again. I think we have one more slide. Yeah. I'm named after my grandfather, who was an ambassador to the country of Haiti back in the day. He went to his grave with a lot of secrets. He wouldn't tell us about our history and whatever, whatever, whatever. He had no right to change the envelope or information he was going to take to Switzerland or France when he was an ambassador. They give him information. He didn't get on the plane and start erasing things, changing things. You've been given the gospel. You're continuing to grow in that truth. We're not to change it. We're just supposed to give it away. Are you tracking? You got one more day tomorrow and the rest of your lives to be ambassadors, reconciling, bringing people to Christ. All right? Finish this week well. Let me pray for you. Lord, again, we're grateful for your truth because it does set us free. Lord, I ask you to help us really track with this thought that you are the one that gives us the motivation, our identity, and our movement in this life. May we not take it for granted. May we really step up and start seeing your truth as light that's just like potent and powerful and will rid darkness or bring people to yourself. We love you, Lord. It's in your precious Son's name, Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Stand with us, will you?